Well, summer's in full swing, but if you take a careful look, you might notice something different. The number of teenagers that used to scoop your ice cream and lifeguard at the pool is steadily declining.
Our next guest says the summer job is disappearing as kids choose other options and the jobs themselves get harder to find. He says that change means fewer teenagers get the on-the-job experience. The jobs that are there tend to go to kids with more privilege.
Ron Lieber joins us now. He's the Your Money columnist for the New York Times and the author of The Opposite of Spoiled. Ron, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
So where do we stand right now when it comes to the number of teenagers who do have summer jobs?
Well, here's what's happened. Since 2000, the share of 16 to 19-year-olds who are working has fallen by over 40%. It's one of the biggest changes in the labor force in the quickest periods of time that we've seen in some time, and fewer than a third of American teenagers had a job last summer. Their share of the overall workforce has never been this low.
Did the summer job take a hit during the Great Recession, like just about everything else?
Well, you know, the causes for this remain something of a mystery. We talked to a bunch of economists about this when we wrote a piece about it for the paper, and we found a number of different explanations, and it depends a lot on kind of who you are and where you live. One thing that certainly seems to be happening is that young adults, but people who are no longer teenagers, seem to be working two or even three jobs to try to make ends meet. They may well be crowding out some of the positions that teenagers might used to be able to work, or jobs that they used to be able to find. So that is part of it. But there's also a sense that many teenagers, for a variety of reasons, are choosing to do different things with their summer than they used to.
And what kinds of things are teenagers choosing over that job?
Well, there are a number of factors here. One is that school years are longer. Some teens are choosing to enroll in summer school or do other enrichment activities, either because they need to do that to pass, the increasingly high, standards at the high school level, or because they are trying to buff themselves up to better appeal to increasingly competitive colleges and the admissions officers who will be passing judgment on them. So, it certainly looks like many more teens are choosing not to work, even if they could, even if the jobs were available to them.
Now, the scenarios you just described there, those sound like the kinds of kids who are high achievers, maybe come from privileged backgrounds, are aiming for maybe a impressive college. But summer jobs used to be, it seems like, at least a little bit more egalitarian. Everybody had a summer job when you were a teenager. Is it going away for kids who maybe have less advantages?
This used to be something that most parents wanted their kids to do, that working was part of the sort of developmental process of becoming an adult, and having a summer job, perhaps a relatively rudimentary one where you did a lot of scout work and people yelled at you, and you learned to deal with the public. It was a sort of rite of passage. But for all of these reasons, in part because many parents want to give their kids a leg up, and they think the best way to give them the leg up is for them to be studying or taking some kind of trip or doing volunteer work during the summer. Paid work has, fallen by the wayside, and in many situations it's happened because families are choosing not to have their kids work.
How much do you think that matters? You talked about that rite of passage, getting yelled at, working with the public that kids used to have. What happens when they don't have that anymore?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that sort of happen developmentally, right? I mean, you end up ultimately, maybe you get into that better university or college that you were hoping to get into. But once you're ready to go out into the world and actually work a real job, you don't have that experience to fall back on. You don't know what it's like to show up on time and have to report to somebody who isn't a blood relation or a teacher and take orders from that person. And you show up in the workplace, you may not actually be ready. But, you know, something else I think to think about in terms of the sheer kind of human experience, I think it's important, and maybe especially important for kids who are lucky enough to have more than average, to learn what it's like and to have respect for the kinds of work and the people who do the kinds of work, that may not ultimately be that attractive to them. I think it's an important thing for kids to learn, and that kind of work can be important, and it can be an important thing for them to do in terms of helping them shape how they see the world.
We're talking right now with Ron Lieber. He's the Your Money columnist for the New York Times, and we're talking about why it seems as though the longstanding tradition of the teen summer job seems to be disappearing. It's down quite a bit, by about a third over the last several years, and we're talking about what that means, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think we lose when we lose out on the summer jobs? Is it a good trade to spend more time in the classroom, or is there something more fundamental that kids might be missing? And along that point, Ron, when you look at that sort of math, you might have kids who get to be 22, 23 and haven't ever really held a paying job before. What does that mean for their chances of success?
Well, it's not a position you want to be in, as a young adult taking your first job, not having been in the workplace before and not knowing what sort of things might be expected of you. I think it starts there, but it also may put you at a disadvantage. There are plenty of employers who will tilt towards hiring people with real paid work experience and not just, sort of the unpaid internships that a lot of kids line up through, connections through their school or their parents or people in their community. And there are plenty of employers who may well, give the edge to kids who've had to struggle, who've had to work for money, and who did it for that reason too. And so, it's entirely possible that, that lack of real paid work experience could work to your disadvantage in the long term, even if you think it may give you an edge in college. And it's not, completely clear that it does. And we spoke to a lot of college admissions officers about this. And, they're of sort of mixed minds about the decline of the summer job.
Thinking back to my teenage summer jobs, you do make a lot of screw-ups when you're in your teenage years. You don't show up for shifts. You might miscount the cash drawer, things that maybe you can get over when you're a teenager, but if you do those same things when you're older, it doesn't look quite as good.
No, it's true. I think the ideal summer job is one where for a teenager, you are not doing the same kinds of things that you do during the school year, and you're not necessarily interacting with the same kinds of people that you interact with during the school year. So much of this is about perspective making and perspective taking, right? And learning about what it is to do different kinds of work and what it is to work with different kinds of people, in addition to earning the money that your family may need or that you may want to save up for college. That experience is part and parcel of this too.
Let's go to our callers now. We're going to take Kelly on the line in Appleton. Kelly, hi.
Hi.
What do you think about these summer jobs going away?
My comment is that I don't really think it's necessarily that they're going away, but children are needing to work all year round. So a job that's just going to get them to the summer isn't enough anymore. And that's all I have to say about that.
And Kelly, let me ask you, do you mean when kids work year round, are you referring to the hard work that school is these days and the pressure there? Or are you talking about kids having year round jobs that pay?
Kids are having year round jobs. So many of the kids in schools these days have their own vehicles. They pay for their own insurance. They need gas money. Their parents aren't supporting them 100%. So every child I know, or young teenager right now in high school, they're working to support their own expenses.
Kelly, thanks a lot for that. Is that part of this, Ron? Instead of a summer job, it's a year-round job.
That could be a part of it. Although what you hear about in some states where the driver's license requirements have changed and they have these sort of graduated requirements where it takes longer to qualify to be able to drive around at night, that makes it that much harder for a teenager to have a job, because if they can't legally drive to wherever the workplace is, it's their parents who have to haul them around, and that may make it impossible. So much depends on the location.
Now, what about the issue of kids being overprogrammed? We hear a lot about that, about how kids are burning out. They're working really hard to build their college resumes in some cases, and they don't have a lot of unscheduled, unprogrammed time. Do kids maybe just want to have an honest-to-goodness break for a couple months?
Yeah, and, you know, I think developmentally that can be a good thing for a certain kind of kid where, you know, the parent is willing to sort of forcefully apply the brakes on their behalf. But it takes a lot of courage, right, when everyone else in your community is out and, you know, the kids are doing internships or they have paying jobs or they're, you know, studying during the summer, doing some other kind of enrichment, to really have the courage of your convictions. And it does take courage to say, you know what, stop the madness. The best thing for my kid right now is to do nothing at all. Maybe not each and every summer during high school or during the early parts of college, but, you know, at least one. But, you know, there is a small but probably growing kind of chorus of parents who really do want to stop the madness and slow things down and allow teens to have, you know, real and perhaps even somewhat idle summers.
Let's take another call now. Kurt is with us next in Green Bay. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
So I spent many summers up in Door County working those summer jobs that you kind of mentioned earlier. You know, what is it about? Well, I think it's two parts. One, it's the stories that you remember. So when you go out into the workforce and you're trying to make that connection with people, it's something different that you did. You didn't do that internship. Instead, you know, your Friday nights were Sunday nights and your Saturdays were the Mondays, you know, and you did those type of things where it was your day off. And then the other half of that is places like Door County where you used to have the influx of the people that live there summer and their kids coming up and working them, and now they have to get kids from overseas to work because there's no kids left to work up there during the summer. So how does that affect the local economies too, you know?
Great questions, Kurt. Thanks a lot. And let's focus in on the tourism business that he's talking about in Door County, which is a big vacation area here in Wisconsin, Ron. How does that work when, you know, they're having to find the help from overseas?
Yeah, well, you know, all economies are regional economies. And, you know, as I reported this out, I posted a question about this on my Facebook page. And, you know, I heard dispatches from all over the country about places like Door County and the Dells and, you know, lots of other tourist areas where there are not enough local kids, you know, children of parents who have summer homes in the area to fill all the jobs that need to be filled. And yet in the inner city, there are not enough jobs, not even close to enough jobs for the kids who want them or the kids who need them, frankly, to, you know, make money to help them afford to go to college in the first place. You know, the inner cities is often because, you know, federal support for summer job programs has declined and, you know, whatever fast food or other entry-level minimum wage jobs exist are often being taken by people who are older who are struggling to make ends meet. So you have this mismatch even in the same state, possibly even the same metropolitan area, and it's very difficult to you know, sort of level that up.
We're talking right now with New York Times financial columnist Ron Lieber about the disappearing summer job for teenagers.
And we want to hear from you. Did you have one of these summer jobs when you were a teenager? What did you get out of it? Why do you think teens today are passing on those jobs or not finding them even if they want them? Do you hire teenagers for summer jobs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with New York Times financial columnist Ron Lieber about the disappearing summer job for teenagers.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What did your summer job as a teen do for you? Do you hire teens now? Are you a teen? Are you working? Having trouble finding work? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go back to our phones now. Doug is next in Ellsworth. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I was just, you know, I worked as a kid from the time I was in my early teens for neighbors and had summer jobs and stuff. I had chores at home all the time growing up, and I just wonder if nowadays there's less parents that are maybe having chores for their kids, and there's less encouragement from them. You know, maybe the kids have not grown up with it and they have no desire to work. Are there more kids that are just lazy and don't want to go out and get a job?
All right, good questions, Doug. That, I guess that's one way you could read this. The kids today are lazier and the parents aren't making them develop that work ethic. Are you seeing that, Ron?
It's an interesting theory, you know, in the course of reporting my book about sort of how, when, and why to talk to kids about money and what to say to them when you do. You know, I spoke with a lot of parents about chores, and, you know, there is sort of an undercurrent, you know, among modern parents that, you know, kids, we sort of forgotten what kids are capable of, and we spare them the requirement of doing chores because, you know, we want them engaged in more, you know, theoretically enriching activities, whether it's schoolwork or, you know, the soccer or hockey travel team or whatever. And, you know, in the course of doing that, I think we may have forgotten what they're capable of. Now, you know, listeners who are on or near farms know good and well just how much a 5 or 6 year old can accomplish, you know, even at a relatively young age. You know, a lot of farm kids are bred for work and they do, you know, incredible amounts of labor by the time they're in their teens. So I think much depends on kind of how you've been raised and where you've been raised. But I am all for more chores in more families so the kids begin to understand that work around the house is, you know, actually an act of love. And so they begin to understand, you know, what sort of adult work they're actually capable of accomplishing.
Now, looking at the role that summer jobs play for kids who come from disadvantaged backgrounds, it sounded as though there was some evidence that when kids did have a summer job, they were more likely to make better choices.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that happen, and, you know, the economic research has sort of proven this out. You know, first of all, kids who are enrolled in certain summer job programs, this was the case in Chicago, they're arrested for violent crimes much less often than those in a control group of teenagers. This was in Chicago where the city's putting 24,000 teens to work this summer, and they're now looking at research studying the impact of mentors for those kids as well. You know, the other thing that happens is that, you know, for every year that teenagers work while in high school, they're income as adults ultimately rises an average of 15%, you know, by the time they're in their 20s for every year that they work. So, you know, these habits that they're picking up, you know, something's lighting a fire under them. And, you know, it's clear that there's real impact. There's safety impact. There's income impact. It's becoming increasingly obvious that this is important and that, you know, more kids probably ought to be doing it.
Go back to our callers now. We've got August on the line with us in Milwaukee. Hi, August.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say I run a conservation employment program here in Milwaukee, and, you know, we employ, you know, up to 100 students every summer doing conservation work in our county park systems. And our students, you know, they make a minimal amount of $7.50 an hour, but they learn skills on how to build trail, how to identify invasive species. You know, these are city kids, many of them, you know, this is their first job. And sure, you know, we may have to teach them things about why it's important to show up to work on time and how to navigate conflict and how to, you know, communicate with your supervisor. But, you know, I think when you provide the opportunities for teens and you know, you show them that, you know, this is something you can do, and especially linking up that work with something that they find value in, you know, it's almost magical.
Great note to leave it there on, August. She says that they don't make a lot of money, $7.50 an hour at this conservation jobs program, but they're learning a lot of valuable skills. So is that something for kids and parents maybe to keep in mind? It's not about the money. It's about picking up these skills that you're talking about, these life skills and attitudes toward the value and maybe honor of labor.
You know, I think that's absolutely true for every kid who works. And it may be even more important for the kid who hasn't had to do many chores, you know, to whom much has been handed over the years. But, you know, I would never want to say that the money doesn't matter at all. You know, even $7.50 an hour, you know, that can make a real dent, you know, in the cost of, you know, the first couple of years of community college, or, you know, can help pay the expenses on an automobile. And so, you know, learning to collect that money and handle it and pay taxes on it and, you know, think about what it means and what it can do for a teenager is an important part of this too.
Now, Ron, as we wrap up, do you have any indicators about how you think this might all play out and affect this generation in the workforce as they come in as professionals later on?
Well, in my reporting, I often hear from people who are shocked at what they see in terms of the kind of like everyday workplace kind of navigation skills of the 22-year-olds who are coming out of college. You know, people who show up and don't realize that they're going to lose 20% of their paycheck to taxes. People who don't understand why it's important to show up at time. People who don't understand what it is that you're supposed to wear in an office, and how to dress and act appropriately. And so, you know, that is the result of people not working, of not learning these things sooner. And, you know, for families and kids who, you know, want to be successful right out of the gate, I think it's really essential, even if you don't need the money, to get some kind of experience like this under your belt.
Ron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ron Lieber is the Your Money columnist at the New York Times and the author of the book The Opposite of Spoiled. He joined us to talk about the disappearing summer job.